where high school sports don't exist. Wait, no. We don't like that world. Different world, please. Ah, that's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Good morning, everybody. This is the Central Valley Sports Report, 1430 ESPN Radio. I am your host, Paul Metters, live at First String Sports. Definitely the place to be. You guys know where it is, right? Blackstone Avenue in between Herndon and Sierra. Man, I come here. I get set up around, 9 o'clock or so, and that's when the store officially opens. Obviously, my show starts a little after 10. And this place was hopping, man, for the last hour or so. Everyone's getting their Lennon's jacket at the same time. This is the time where a lot of kids come in with their parents and design their Letterman's jackets, figure out what they want embroidered. What style? There's different styles, actually. I see the all black from Clovis North. That's a really, really cool look. But, this is the only place where you could get your Letterman's jacket here at First String Sports. They've been my day one sponsors. Love coming here every Saturday and talking high school sports. We had a huge slate of games last night. I can't wait to get into these games and talk about them and tell you who did what and what teams, look really good last night. Well, the game that we had, might as well talk about it a little bit now after the break, and we bring in Gabe Camarillo to talk about this game and more. But we were able to broadcast the Clovis North and Clovis East game last night, and it lived up to the billing. It was number one versus number three. Clovis North is number one. Both teams were undefeated at 5-0. La Monica Stadium, homecoming for Clovis East. Two programs that were, let's be frank, 3-4 years ago weren't doing so well, and now they were the talk of the town. I mean, the game last night had state implications as well. Clovis North is ranked number 9 in one poll, number 12 in another poll, state rankings. And Clovis East, they had a lot to prove. But Clovis North had a great second half, was tied at 14, beat Clovis East 31-21. Clovis North looks really good. They made the plays. So we're going to be breaking that game down more after the break. Well, who else we got coming on the show? This is a loaded show. I'm very, very excited about the guests that we have coming on today. So Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson, friend of the show, is coming in after Gabe Camarillo. So around 10, let's call it 10:35 or so. Dave Wilson does an incredible job there in Kingsburg. They're Vikings, though. All right, they're giving their coaching staff a heart attack. It was 6-0 in the first half against Washington Union last night at Union. Union tied it at 6. Kingsburg ended up scoring a touchdown, 113-6. But Dave is always up for conversations, driving here to First String Sports from Kingsburg. So around 10:35, we're talking with Coach Wilson. At the top of hour number two, every once in a while, I'll bring in a legend, a Central Valley legend of the past. I've had Tom Goodwin on the show. Came in here to First String Sports. That was an incredible conversation. Loved that time. Goody, Central grad, Fresno State baseball legend, World Series champ as the first base coach of the Red Sox. So, Stephen Vogt was on my show. Central Valley Christian baseball guy, two-time All-Star. McKay Christensen, Clovis West legend. Everybody knows the name, McKay Christensen, drafted by the Angels. But anyway, bring it in, Mark Barsotti. You guys know Mark Barsotti. He was a quarterback from Fresno State from 1988 to 1991. Madera High grad, played for Coach Sweeney. Can't wait to hear stories about Coach Sweeney. Get this, Mark Barsotti, his record as a starter was 35-6-1. Had that great senior season. Fresno State got ranked, I think they got ranked as high as 25th. Went 10-2. It was a year that Barsotti actually broke his leg, I think in game 5. And, the quarterback that took over for, I think, 4 games after that, maybe 5 games, was Trent Dilfer. So then it was Barsotti and then Dilfer for those Dilfer years. But I can't wait to talk to Mark. He still lives in the area. His son is a really good baseball player at Buchanan. I mean, he's one of the legends, so I'm very excited. I can't wait for you guys to hear from Mark Barsotti, the top of hour number two. Then after that, we got a stud football player from Clovis West, Titus Kajavi. He's a quarterback. Mark Barsotti's a quarterback. Titus Kajavi is a linebacker. He's played a lot of running back this season, but I've seen him Clovis West play twice this year. And I don't think there's a better linebacker in the central section. I think he's one of the top linebackers in the state. The guy is everywhere. You got to count for number three wherever you guys, wherever teams are on the field. He's wrecking havoc all over the field. Committed to Fresno State. And once he got that offer from Fresno State, he's like, I'm all in. I want to be a Bulldog. So Titus Kajabi. Oh, yeah, and his Clovis West Golden Eagles beat Buchanan 33-7 last night. That was a huge win. That was a huge win for Clovis West. It was, they were up big. Actually got a shutout until the fourth quarter. I'm sure Titus played a huge, huge part in that. But, yeah, Clovis West, they're now 5-1 with a big game next week as well. So looking forward to that. So that's what's on the docket today. I want to thank Lee's Air Plumbing and Heating, great sponsor of 1430 ESPN. Right now, how about this weird weather? I'm sure a lot of you guys have been outside already, or at least looked outside, but 63 degrees right now and a little bit of rain. I think it was 80% chance at 10 o'clock and a little bit of rain today. So, you know, big Fresno State football game tonight as well. Nevada, 7:30 kickoff. It's going to be 66 degrees at kickoff, high of 70 today. So if you're going to the Fresno State game tonight, like I am, got my season tickets with some friends, family friends, bring a jacket, bring a lightweight jacket, and support your Bulldogs, man. 4-0 going against those 0-4 Nevada Wolfpack. Let's whoop up on them tonight, right? Like we did at Kent State last week. I'm all for that. So big game tonight. Lots of big games last night. Let's get into some scores. This is one of my favorite parts of the show. I get to share with you guys the scores. You know, perhaps you went to a game last night and listened to Gabe Camarillo and I's post-game show while we rattle off scores from last night as they come in. But we got the full list of the scores. There were some games that were on Thursday night. So Fresno High and Madera South. Fresno High won 27-6. Liberty of Bakersfield. Liberty was number one all season, and you know they had that one loss and beat Central at home. Santa Margarita was their loss, but they beat Garces on Thursday 41-13. They're the two-time defending champs. Right now, heck, let me go to Cal Preps. They are actually number three behind Clovis East. Still, even after Clovis East lost last night to Clovis North, Liberty is a three seed. If the season ended today, they have a game on October 20th against Frontier. So they play Stockdale, then Centennial, then Frontier. That Frontier game is going to be a good one on October 20th. But, yeah, if the standings hold up now, Liberty would be the three seed. They beat Garces. So Central Valley Christian played Kerman, and they beat them 52-14. It was a game that I was able to go to, as well as Gabe. And we got to see Bryson Donaldson from the sideline, and he's as advertised. I mean, he's a Division I running back. Has offers from Boise State, Fresno State, Boston College. Might be able to ask Gabe about that, but I hear he's leaning towards Boston College. Interesting, right? We love our hometown guys, or our hometown, or Central Valley guys that stick around and go to Fresno State. But, yeah, we'll see. But Bryson Donaldson, he looks every bit as a legit Division I running back. In Tri-County action, Exeter beat Hanford West 52-12. Emmanuel beat Reilly 47-28. Kalinga beat Fireball 28-6. And Dos Palos beat Avenal 35-0. And a game that surprised us a little bit, but Lemoore, their defense is playing really, really well. Last year in their Division II championship team, their offense was absolutely lights out, but their defense has stepped up. They beat Tulare Union in Tulare 32-21. So the Tigers looking strong. All right, so that was Thursday. So let's get into some Friday stuff really quick. All right, what about the C-Mac? Oh, man. Bullard, we know what's going on with Bullard. Talked about it last week. It's the post-Don Arax era now at Bullard. So he was let go from his position. They played at Madera last night. So the Knights were down 6-0 and pulled out a 7-6 win. Brandon Gilbert's taken over the head coaching duties. He's the athletic director. He was actually the D coordinator in their 2021 team that won D2 championship. So, yeah, Bullard pulled it out, played with some heart in that one. And then how about San Joaquin Memorial and Edison? San Joaquin Memorial, Alex Asbruhoff, a five-star kicker, kicked a field goal on the final play of the game to beat Edison 22-21. In a game they were down 22 21-6. The interesting thing, I saw a video out there on Twitter. Memorial lined up for a field goal, missed it at the end of the game, but there was a roughing the kicker. So moved the ball up, booted it right through. Victory for San Joaquin Memorial. Congrats to the Panthers on that one. Sanger defeated Garza 41-14. Corcoran defeated Lindsay 28-0. Rossi defeated Strathmore 28-7. Big win there for the Cardinals. Woodlake defeated Orange Cove 26-20 in East Yosemite League action. Golden West defeated Menatchee 23-19. Mount Whitney over Porterville 35-28. And Redwood defeated El Diamante only 14-7. The Rangers only winning by a touchdown in that one. In North Yosemite League action, McLean defeated Roosevelt 24-12. Sunnyside defeated Hoover 40-6. Torres defeated Sanger West 49-13. All these scores, guys, are on calpreps.com as well. Just find Central Section, California, then the Central Section, click on that, and you can check out the scores. In Northwest Sequoia League, Carruthers defeated Minarets 42-14. Chowchilla defeated Riverdale 46-6. Liberty Madera with the comeback, or I should say a bounce back win over Fowler 28-20. And Yosemite defeated Parlier 20-18 on Parlier's homecoming. In South Sequoia League action, Delano defeated Chavez. Actually, no score on that one. Kennedy defeated Wasco 42-0, and Shafter all over McFarland 49-0 to move to 7-0. On the season. In Tehachapi, they got a good team there. In the mountains, defeated South 35-7. Centennial defeated Stockdale 31-7. Bakersfield Christian got all their guys back. A lot of guys became eligible this last week. Defeated Bakersfield 34-32. Bakersfield came back, but not enough in that one. And then we'll be hearing from Coach Dave Wilson at the bottom of the hour. They defeated his Vikings defeated Washington Union 13-6. Tri-River League action. Clovis and Central. How about this one? Central doesn't lose at home very often, right? Clovis comes in, got a nice record of 4-1. Central also at 4-1. Clovis was up big. I believe it was 21-7. Not too big. 21-7. Central storms back like they always do. They end up going to overtime. Clovis scores on the first possession, kicks the extra point. Central scores on theirs. Coach Kyle Biggs, I love it, decides to go for two. This game was on TV on our friends at the CW. Central decides to go for two. Kind of looked like a rollout kind of option play. The quarterback threw across his body, and Clovis was able to knock it down and preserve the win. And they celebrated, man. That was a hard-earned, hard-fought victory for Clovis and Coach Aaron Wilkins. So congratulations to them. And the game we're going to be talking about a little bit more, game I mentioned, Clovis North defeated Clovis East 31-21, and Clovis West defeated Buchanan 33-7. Landon Wright had three touchdown catches in that one. Hanford defeated Dinuba 47-6. That game was, I believe, 33-0 at halftime. A lot of different players scored in that one for Hanford. Mission Oak defeated Tulare Western 33-20. Oh, there we go. East Bakersfield defeated Foothill 41-14. Frontier all over Ridgeview 51-12. And Sierra Pacific defeated Selmeth 16-13. A little bit tighter than I thought. All right, there is a short breakdown, as short as I can get. I always go a little bit longer, but lots of really good action last night up and down the Central Section. One game in league for most of these schools. So we'll see how a lot of schools respond. We'll actually hear a little bit more about how some of these teams came out with the victory. We're going to be talking with Gabe Camarillo after the break, especially about that big Clovis North and Clovis East game. You're listening to 1430 ESPN.
Listen to the Rich Eisen Show weekdays at 10 a.m.
What's the weather like out there, guys? Huh? Still kind of muggy? Well, I looked at my app. Right? Next week, we're getting back into the 90s. Is that true? Right? High 80s. High 80s. It looks like on Wednesday of next week. Come on, what's going on? 90, then 92, 92, 94. All right, what's going on? This should be October weather. It should be October weather. I think I missed a score, too. I don't know how I could miss this. My alma mater. right? My alma mater defeated Reedley in one of the rivalry games, 47-28. So congrats to Emmanuel for winning on Thursday. That was a Thursday night game. After big games like last night, calling Clovis North and Clovis East, man, I'm still pretty hyped, right? I find myself driving home or whatever, I don't know, 10:45, 11 o'clock, maybe getting something to eat on the way, and just kind of in the zone. I'm replaying the game in my head. I'm thinking about the show the next morning, like what types of questions I'm going to ask people or how I'm going to review the game. And, you know, Gabe Camarillo and I, we do the pregame, the halftime show, and then the postgame, Jose Gonzalez and Pat Hill, which is awesome. We're able to broadcast the game. But Gabe and I, we're able to break the game down. It's very fresh. Gabe does an incredible job of writing down the specifics of the game. At this time, you know, this touchdown was scored, and we just have a lot of fun breaking down the game. And so all that to say, I still feel pretty hyped about the game. I'm worn out as well. Obviously, I didn't plan it. I just announced it. But it was a high-level football game. And you know, ended up being a 31-21 win for Clovis North. About what I said, I actually predicted. I didn't predict it publicly, but I said 35-21 Clovis North. So I was pretty darn close. But Gabe had a first-hand look at all the action down on the field. So, Gabe, first of all, are you like me, right? We break the game down afterwards, but driving home and, you know, I know we jump on Twitter a lot, but are you just constantly just – thinking about angles of this game and a lot of the big plays?
Yeah, definitely. And I think about how both teams really matched up well against each other. Like Clovis North was able to establish the run and Clovis East was able to score with their big pass plays. And, you know, we talked about which defense is going to step up. Obviously, it was the defense that forced two turnovers in the second half and used those turnovers either to score points or keep points off the board for their opponent. So, yeah, that defense question we had, Clovis North's defense stepped up. I think that's probably the biggest reason they won last night.
And we did have questions about Clovis North's their defensive backs and their secondary, because I felt like they hadn't really been tested this year. And Ty Miller and Harold Duvall and Tommy Nix, I mean, that's a deadly three, with Miller being the quarterback and those other two guys, you know, very skilled wide receivers. And they got behind Clovis North secondary a couple times for some big plays, and that's kind of their MO this year. They're going to be more of a big play team compared to Clovis North. Grinded out. I think what Clovis North had a possession that was 7 minutes and 38 seconds, and a couple more long possessions. It just wears down a defense. But you're right, Gabe. Two big turnovers from Clovis East. Two big interceptions by Clovis North, I think, was the difference. And then there was also a big pass play on third down. I think it was 58 yards, Gabe, from Mario Cosma to Vincent Cardova.
On third and long, too, right? Yeah. Like we talked about, you want to put this Clovis North offense in third and long situations because that makes them throw the ball. Well, when you make them throw the ball, stuff like that could happen, too, where you have Vincent Cardova have a tackler fall down and have him free for a 58-yard touchdown. See, that's the kind of thing. It's like, how can you beat this Clovis North offense when they do plays like that? If they're able to convert third and longs and score 58-yard touchdown passes, then there's absolutely no way to stop this Broncos offense, because they can do that and run the ball 5 yards a carry each time.
Yeah, and Vince Branstetter, he called a really good play or a really good game. He knows what to do. He knows his offense. He rides his horses. But just when they're run, all of a sudden they can pop a pass over the middle like they did. They're a dangerous team. And again, we talk a lot about Jackson Sinfell and McCabe Madsen for good reason. And you could throw in Andrew Chavez, who actually scored two touchdowns in last night's game on the ground. But, heck, give that quarterback some credit. He runs the offense to perfection. He made some really good throws when they had to.
Yeah, and they needed him to make those big throws because the Broncos were held as a team under 4 yards a carry, which is the lowest they've been held, by the way, I think all season long. You got to give a lot of credit to Clovis East run defense not giving up the big run play. The longest run from scrimmage for Clovis North last night, 15 yards. That says a lot about Clovis East defense, and I think if these two teams meet again, that Clovis East run defense is going to be just as up to the task of stopping the Broncos running backs. Because did you notice, Paul, that too, that Clovis North did not really rip off any long runs like we've seen against Jay Serra or San Joaquin Memorial or their other opponents?
I know. Yeah, we talked about that during the broadcast. And we're used to that. We're used to seeing Jackson Sinfeld, 67-yard run, McKay Mattson, you know, 42-yard run, those types of plays. And Clovis East, give them credit, they didn't allow those big plays. I thought their defensive game plan was really good. I thought it was strong. So hats off to Coach Nagel in that one. What were your big takeaways, though, Gabe, from let's just say for Clovis North, right? Are they – you think they're built – for, you know, that type of offense is sustainable throughout the playoffs into the cold weather?
I had some conversation with friends last night on the great old Twitter spaces, and they made some good points. They were saying how if you run the ball that much in September and October, the wear and tear on your body, right, the toll that it takes to run the ball 56 times like Clovis North did last night against Clovis East, well, that can eventually show itself in November. But here's why I don't think that's going to happen to Clovis North, because they have three guys that carry the ball. Chavez last night had 15 carries, McKay Mattson had 14 carries, and Jackson Sinfall had 22 carries. So it's not exactly even, but I mean, they're pretty close together. And I feel like when you have those three guys have similar number of carries, well, they're going to keep each other fresh. So maybe if this was like last year's San Joaquin Memorial team where you have one workhorse running back, then you worry about workload and will he be able to perform in late November? Because obviously, you know, the common story is that Brandon Ramirez was gassed by the end of the game against Liberty High School last year. They don't have any guys getting gassed in November this year. I think because Clovis North has three workhorse running backs, that's not going to happen to them.
We're talking to Gabe Camarillo here. You can listen to a show, Home Field Advantage, Monday through Thursday, 3 to 5. I definitely do. I look forward to that on my drive home from work. Gabe, so Clovis East, right, their offense, I felt like they struggled running. They're definitely not Clovis North. But, you know, they broke free for some big passing touchdowns. And that's going to be their bread and butter moving forward. Do you think that type of offense where, you know, it's – you know, throw the ball up, maybe get some 50-50 plays. That type of offense is sustainable, especially in the track?
Depends on the opponent, right? If you're going to be a pass-heavy offense like that, and I think that's what Clovis East was last night, they threw the ball more than they ran it, and they threw, like you said, a lot of go routes as their main form of moving the ball down the field. If that's your way of playing, then you're going to play into the strength of the Clovis West secondary next week, because Clovis West has four Division I level athletes back there that will be able to bat the ball down, or at least keep up speed-wise with a Harold Duvall or a Tommy Nick. So I do think you need more shorter to intermediate throws in the playbook. You need to be able to get a third and five, for instance, right? And not just have to throw it 10, 20 yards downfield, but be able to throw like a five-yard short pass and get the first down on like a third and medium. So I think that could be something I look to see in the Clovis East offense. But yeah, to answer your question, does it work in the track? Depends on the matchup, because it doesn't match up well if facing a Clovis West secondary. But if you're facing like and I don't want to single anybody out, but if you're facing a secondary that doesn't have elite speed like Clovis West and Clovis North, well, then obviously, you know, you're going to be able to use that to your advantage.
Yeah, those Clovis East receivers are a lot of fun to watch. All right, so Clovis East, again, like you mentioned, they're playing Clovis West next week, who beat Buchanan 33-7. I think that starts – does that start four straight weeks of Thursday games? There's actually – looks like week three there's no Thursday game. So Buchanan takes on Central at home at Veterans on Thursday, and then Clovis plays Clovis North. So there's no easy games in the track. That's for darn sure. We've talked about that all year. But how about Clovis pulling out that win against Central? Central comes back to tie it. Overtime, Biggs goes for the two. I think you were like me. We watched a little bit of the end of that game. But what a great win for the Cougars.
Yes, and it was a game that made you think Deegan Rose as a sophomore is pretty darn good. His stats aren't in max preps yet, but the fact that he was able to build up that big lead and then the resiliency after that lead disappeared, right, because Central scored 17 points in the third quarter unanswered, that can kind of faze you if you're a young quarterback like Deegan Rose or just a young team in general like the Cougars are. But they weren't fazed. And I could tell by the celebration after they won, yeah, after Palmer Johnson knocked that two-point conversion down, that there must have been a mighty good speech that Aaron Wilkins gave, because he was fired up like no other on a Friday night after they beat the Central Grizzlies. I'm sure he had the message to the team the entire week: nobody believes in us. Everyone's picking Central. Everyone's picking the track record of success that is Kyle Biggs. And, you know, I guess sometimes streaks are meant to be broken. Kyle Biggs had never lost back-to-back games before, but he did it last night. And, you know, for that matter, speaking of streaks, the last time Clovis beat Central was back in 2012. So that's a decade straight of wins that Central had over Clovis. And that no longer exists because Clovis beat them last night. So, yeah, I guess that's why we all pick Central, because we're used to the success of Central football. We're used to their dominance over certain opponents. Like, they haven't lost to Clovis in a very long time. They haven't lost to Clovis East in a very long time. But this year's showing us that the big powerhouses that we're used to seeing at the top, they're not the powerhouses this year. It's time for some new blood, like a Clovis East or a Clovis North or a Clovis West. I mean, their win over Buchanan, I think, is the most impressive of the three track wins, I think.
I would agree. That was a huge win for Clovis West. But, yeah, congrats to the Cougs. I saw that. Coach Wilkins, he was fired up after that win. All right, Gabe, we got about a minute here. Give us a little prediction / teaser / info on tonight's Fresno State and Nevada game. We got some streaks in that game. 0-4, 4-0. What is it? Fresno State going for, is it win number 14 in a row? Nevada's going for loss number 15 in a row?
Yeah.
Or am I off on one?
Yeah, so I said earlier that streaks are meant to be broken. I hope that's not the case for this one. I hope both streaks stay alive after tonight's action. But, no, I think it's going to be a very good moment for the Central Valley, because it's the number 25-ranked Fresno State Bulldogs playing at home. So you got to watch a ranked team here in Fresno. The last time you got to watch them at home for an entire month. So I do actually hope it's a sellout tonight, because the Dogs deserve it. They had a really good start to the season, four nice wins, and I even include the EW game in there, because that Eastern Washington game, I think, set the tone for the next two. They had a dominant win over Arizona State. They had an even more dominant win over Kent State. Combined score in those games, 82-10. I wouldn't be surprised if the final score tonight is 82-10, because that's how good Fresno State's offense is.
Oh, man, I can't wait for tonight. Good job by you, Gabe. Always appreciate talking to you. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you, Paul.
You bet. All right. Head coach Dave Wilson of the Kingsburg Vikings coming up next. They beat Washington Union 13-6. Going to hear about that game and much, much more coming up on 1430 ESPN. Welcome back to Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. You can follow me on the Twitter, at Paul Metters, P-A-U-L-M-E-A-D-O-R-S. And, yeah, I kind of refuse to call it X. It just doesn't sound right. I don't even like the app on the phone. It's black. And I don't know. I just miss that little bird, right, with the blue. That's mm-hmm. I don't know.
Follow, by the way, Paul Metters. It's a great follow.
Thank you. Appreciate it. And you're a great follow, too. Dave, you know, you're Kingsburg guy through and through. You're a graduate of Kingsburg High. And
class of 95, man.
Class of 95 was a hot class. And, you know, we've talked about it on air many times in the past, but, you know, my students go to your high school.
Yeah. Traver Mustangs.
Traver Mustangs.
Don't sleep on Traver.
I got a decent little dynasty.
Yeah, you do. Well, you got to remember, I have a little bit of a clay roots.
You do.
So,
you do.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, when you're the elementary school that feeds you. So, yeah, you would come on our campus. But
that was the big game.
That was. Yeah. Clay against Traver. Colossal. Yeah. Colossal matchup. And I know you got plenty of interest. First of all, you're coming in with massive, massive drip. And
I got the
Kingsburg
drip.
Through and through.
Yeah.
You got your Jordans on.
Well, you know, Paul, 47 now. And the kids, you know, I got to keep up with the kids. I have a teenager. And, you know, I got to do it while I can, you know.
We got to try to stay young somehow.
Yeah,
I mean, I got an arcade in my house. Yeah, most, right? I got video games. And
most guys buy Harleys. I buy Air Jordans, you know.
I want to ask you about your season, obviously. It's, you know, Kingsburg has got a really good reputation. It's a one school town, and you guys have played in some really meaningful football games, but it's been kind of an up and down season, so to speak. Even though you guys are 5-1,
yeah,
right?
No, we are 5-1,
and I know you're a nostalgia guy, as we talked about with the Jordans. I know you're a big wrestler guy as well. So is there like a
Don't tell my wife though.
Is there like a pro wrestler in the past that you can compare this year's team to? Like, you know, let's start off this conversation right away here.
Yeah, when I think of our team, and I don't say this because people that know me, they'll know that, you know, Ric Flair's my favorite wrestler. He's a lot of people's favorite wrestler. I mean, the younger Ric Flair. Now he's turned into this. Anyway, but yeah, one thing I remember about Ric Flair is that he was the champion, of course, but he would go in and literally just get beaten to a pulp during the course of a match. Back then they used to cut themselves and really add the realistic thing to it. And then all of a sudden at the very end, he would squeak a win out. He'd either pull the tights or he'd put his foot up on the rope and pull a foreign object out of his tights. And then he'd steal a win, grab the belt and leave. That's kind of our football team right now.
Well, I mean, look at the scores you guys had. Sunnyside, what, 20-15?
Yeah.
And then last night, right? Last night, Washington Union. I'm following that game on Twitter and on Max Preps, and you know, we're announcing the game. I'm like, please, all right, Kingsburg win, because it makes the conversation go well.
I was coming regardless.
I know you were.
It was funny. My wife asked me that question this morning. I guess, hey, I'm going to be on Paul's show this morning. She's like, oh, I'm glad you won. And I'm like, yeah, I'm glad I won too. But I mean, and she goes, well, would you have gone if you lost? She's like, would you just call him and say, hey, I can't make it? And I was like, no, I would have showed up. I mean, come on, man. That's part of it.
And that's what I appreciate you. It's always a trick for me. It's like, okay, I booked this guy, but what happens if they lose? They're going to come in with a bad mood. But I know, you're always in a good mood. You're a happy day.
Yeah.
All right, so talk about the game last night.
Last night's game, like many of our games in the TCC, is always a battle. I always sell the Washington Union game as one of those, you know, we throw the word rivalry around, but when you think of teams like Washington Union, Dinuba, Selma, these are old traditional games that, you know, my brothers played in and dads have played in before.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of times communicating with like our Lions Club, because our Lions Club's big in football, and these are the games they talk about, you know, because they got a farmer friend that works out there, and they, you know, hey man, how's it gonna go this year? And so whenever we get in those games, you never take them for granted. And I knew watching Washington Union on film, you know, they always have really good athletic kids, and then they're just tough. They're tough kids, and then they're playing Kingsburg, and it's a Kingsburg Washington Union game. We're playing over there, and so it was a good game. You know, we're still probably doing things to put ourselves in a disadvantage. You know, sometimes I tell our kids. Well, I don't. Sometimes I tell our kids all the time. You know, sometimes I think our biggest opponent's really us. You know, we're always on the verge. First of all, our defense played fantastic last night. That was nice to see our defense kind of really break out. And we made a few adjustments after the Tulare Union game, and I think they worked out really good for us. We moved Houston Hirschhorn back down to end, and he showed up, man. It really showed. And then we had some really good – our defensive line played well. Coach Sibley, our defensive coordinator, and Coach Allo, our D-line coach, had a great game plan. And that kept us in the game, because on offense, it's kind of one of those things where – we play good enough, but then we do something to stall a drive, you know, if it's a turnover or a penalty or just a missed assignment, you know. And against a good defense, Washington Union, I mean, they're no joke, especially up front. I mean, the Felder linebacker is legit. The Brown kid, number three, plays both ways. I mean, they cause problems for you, man. And so when you make mistakes, especially in the box, you get pretty exposed. And we just did that enough at times. And, you know, there were times we were moving the ball well into their territory. I think we were in the red zone at least 3 to 4 times. And we turned the ball over twice, didn't execute on one of our plays down in the towards the end zone. We had a guy wide open, and Max just missed him, and, you know, for whatever reason. And then you're settling for field goals, and then you miss field goals, and it's like, oh, man, you know. And so you're on the sideline going, oh, my goodness. You know, I feel like I'm in the twilight zone at times. And so we definitely – I mean, the good thing is we're 5-1, and I don't think we've played our best football. But at the same time, like Ric Flair, you know, we're bleeding. We're cut. We're getting beat up. We've got some guys injured, you know, and I don't ever use that as an excuse, but – you know, it's just a realization, man, when you turn around and there's 6 to 8 kids with just their jersey on watching the game. And, you know, if a few of those guys are pretty important players for you, you know, But it's Kingsbury. We just keep moving forward, and things is, you know, seem to be going pretty well. I mean, like I said, there's a lot of teams that like to be 5-1.
No, absolutely. And you know, what I've respected about you and your program over the last few years is that you guys haven't ducked some big name opponents, right? Yeah. I mean, you guys. I mean, back in the day, you know, were the medium to small schools. Then, you know, when you had the Braves and those mm-hmm. and those studs back in the day, you're winning D2s and then moved to, or D3s and moving up to mm-hmm. D2s, right?
Yeah, you got to remember, we were D4. Our first Valley Championship was D4, yeah.
What year was that?
Oh, gosh, I see. That would have been, I think, 2008, I think.
Okay.
2008, 2009. I think we went 9, 10, 11, 12, or 8, 9, 10, something like that.
Okay, yeah. But you guys also, people seem to forget, you scheduled Buchanan.
Yeah.
Right? You played Buchanan. And, I mean, you guys aren't afraid to play. I mean, you played Buller in that playoff game. You had no choice in that. But, yeah. I mean, you'll play some schools if you schedule. And you scheduled Clovis North. I want to get that in a second. But you're not afraid.
No. And, I mean, we challenge ourselves. And, you know, and it all really kind of comes down to, you know, the system that we have now. And it's trying to, you know, me and my athletic director, Scott Hodges, when we get to our scheduling, it's trying to figure out, okay, what's the best method to kind of put yourself in. Because, I mean, my goal is, whether it works out or not, is to try to get into the right division, you know, and to try to show CIF, okay, this is who we are, you know. And so, you know, by no means do you go into a game thinking, okay, we're going to lose this game so we can show CIF. But we've gotten to the point now where, you know, since we've started this new playoffs system, we're a Division II team. Like, that's what we've been playing. And so, we scheduled Tulare Union this year. Paso Robles is a Division II team, but, you know, they're a little down, so that's a tough test. But that's something we've tried to incorporate in our scheduling. It's tough because, you know, the one thing I'm always concerned about when we play these bigger, strong schools is just coming out healthy, you know, sometimes that's tough. You know, you got to remember at Kingsburg High School, I mean, I don't really have just football players. I got a couple kids that just play football, but, you know, when the season's over, Max is going to go play point guard, you know, and the Hirschkorn twins are going to go play baseball. And, you know, I got wrestlers on my team. I got tracks guy. I mean, my left tackle's a swimmer. You know what I mean? Think about that, you know? And so, you respect those bigger schools because, you know, they're where they're at because of those things. They're bigger schools. They got a bigger pond to fish from. And, they've got a lot of just, specialty kids that just play football. And so they can do a lot of things in the off season that, you know, I have to sort of succumb to because I just don't have the guys to do it, you know. And so I'm always proud of our program that we're still – and we're not the only one. There's other schools that are doing it now too, don't get me wrong. But it is nerve-wracking. No, and I think next year – I have to look at the schedule, but I think we dropped Tulare Union, but I think we added Clovis East and Sanger. I mean, come on now. You know what I mean? But it's like, hey, let's just go battle. Coach Noble's a great guy. Coach Logue's a great guy, and – you know, let's go see what we can do and let the, you know, it's just weird. Like I said, with our new CIF playoff system, it's really trying to juggle how do you approach a schedule, you know. And I used to really enjoy trying to be 10-0, and I really used to enjoy trying to do certain things. But it's at the point now where, you know, that kind of goes to the wayside, and you're just really, you got to play teams to see who you are and what you are. And so we've tried to do that the last few years.
Talking with Kingsburg head coach Dave Wilson. All right, so you are, let's say you are the committee. It's Dave Wilson, the CIF playoff committee. Yeah. What is it broken? Does it need to be tweaked? What works? What doesn't work with the current playoff system?
It's come down to like your perspective, you know. As a fan, I love it. You know, if I'm you, it's great, you know, because they're going to take the top, you know, whatever it is, 36 teams. They're going to put them all in two divisions. I mean, you're going to have great games from the get-go, you know. So, from that perspective, I think CIF is accomplishing what they wanted. They want to get those better schools up in the top two divisions and really see who the best team is at that particular division. The hard part is I think you get some really good football teams that get left out, and in a culture where we're, you know, let's just be honest, we're in a culture where you're kind of judged on Valley championships, you know, and it doesn't just happen in football, it happens in other sports as well. you know, where I think some of the best teams don't get to play for championships. And so I do miss that, you know, because there are some good teams, you know, and, you know, us for one of them. I think at times you get stuck playing a Frontier, you get stuck playing a big school that
– a Bullard.
Yeah, you know, that 10 years ago I would have never dreamt that I'd have to beat to win a Valley Championship, you know. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm complaining, because there's really no great way, you know. But I do feel like a school like us who – let's just be honest, you know, we do sort of overachieve, you know. You kind of get punished for that, you know. And you can tell it's a mental game I have to play with my guys, because they do know that. You know, they know how the system works now. And it's convincing them that, you know, that's not a lost cause. You still got to compete. You got to go at it. And we do that. So it's a good thing. But, yeah, I mean, if I had to tweak it, I wish there was some kind of subjectiveness, just a little bit. You know, maybe school population, you know, just throw a little bit of subjectiveness into this, you know, sort of algorithm that they're using to seed everybody. But again, when you start being subjective, you know, there's going to be people on both sides, you know. So, you know, I don't think CIF at all is out to get anybody. I think they're trying to do it the best they can, and this is where we're going, and you would just roll with it.
And you guys have had a lot of success over the years, winning in the regular season, and then, mm-hmm. you know, those Valley championships that we've talked about, Central Section championships, yeah. right, as well.
Yeah, we can't say Valley now. Because
back in the – well, right, back in the day yeah. when they were just Valley yeah. championships, you could probably call them Valley, yeah. but now we got to go Central Section.
Yeah. What's
the key, Dave, you think, to medium to small school success? You know, I mean, we are seeing some changeover. Clovis North is now back on top, and Clovis yeah. East, right, which they weren't, you know, 4 or 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
How are you able to sustain that type of success at this school size?
Yeah, people have asked me that before, and you know, at a small school like Kingsburg especially, it's extremely – or it's cyclical, you know. So, you know, you can see it, you know, and we've been fortunate.
That's a big word.
It's a cycle that runs through, you know,
and
you can see what's coming, you know, and you can kind of forecast it, you know, where, you know, we're not a school that reloads, even though, you know, we've been able to sustain some success for quite a bit of time here. But I see what's happening. You know, I always know who's coming through, and it all, you know, when people ask me, it all starts with your lower levels, in a sense, like even down to your Pop Warner. And that's hard, because, like, let's say I'm at a school like Hanford where there's three high schools. Well, how does their Pop Warner work? I mean, is there a direct feeder school? It doesn't really work that way. They just kind of play. And then now it's like I'm recruiting to try to get that kid to come sure. to my high school, where I don't have to deal with that. So that's a whole nother situation. Whereas Kingsburg, like, for the most part, you know, those kids all play in our lower levels, our Pop Warner system, and then they're coming to be a Viking, and they want to be a Viking, you know, and we get a ton of participation, you know, and that helps, you know, with it. And it's not necessarily perfect all the time, but it's a culture thing, man, and culture doesn't happen overnight, and you've got to be able to sustain some bumps and bruises, you know, and be able to put out a product that people want to be a part of. And you've been to a game in Kingsburg, you know, people are attracted to that stuff. And in today's culture, you got to have a strong social media presence, and we're able to do that. And you got to juggle that between, hey, remember, we still got to go win football games. It's not about the picture on the social media page and all that other stuff. And so people tell me all the time that they're extremely impressed, you know, being able to be a head coach, period, in high school, but especially like a town like Kingsburg, where it's so important. And it's tough at times, but I never take things personal, because I just know it's important to people, you know, and people just want to feel like they're a part of it. And I try to include as many people as possible. And my message to my kids is always find your role and embrace that role and be the best you can be. And it might be the guy that never leaves the field, and it might be the guy that
yeah.
really services us in practice, and they're the cheerleader on the sideline, but you still get everything, you know. You get the Thursday meal, you get the jersey, you get everything. So it's hard at times, but it's worked so far.
Talking with Dave Wilson, head coach of Kingsburg. We only got a couple minutes here. Can you
sure.
believe that?
It always goes so fast, you know.
Gosh.
I want to talk more Ric Flair. I was a little bummed out about that.
Well,
no,
you
I'm
gave
just kidding.
Some good info. I mean, you used the word bringing out, a razor from the tight. I mean, I never thought on my ESPN radio show somebody would ever say bringing out a razor from their tight.
I think that's our next podcast idea. We've got to go old school wrestling talk.
That would be fun. Yeah. That would be a ton of fun. couple more questions, sure. But I want to know more about, like, your traditions with Kingsburg. You guys got some cool traditions, right?
Yeah.
So, heck, I remember when Kingsburg got the first McDonald's.
Yeah,
right.
Me too.
And what they have to do? There was a stipulation. You had to put a Swedish rocking horse.
Yeah.
In the front, or else McDonald's couldn't build.
100%. Yeah. There's a. Come on, man. Yeah. Like, you seem surprised. Like, no. Yeah. That's how it is now. Anything that's built in town, especially commerce wise, has to have like a Swedish motif.
We went out to lunch last week and at the Los Pepes there. Shout out to them. But
wonderful Mexican restaurant. Yeah.
One of the best. And we park. And what are you hearing? You're hearing yodeling.
Yeah.
I feel like piped in through downtown. Yeah. People don't know that.
I was in line for the Matterhorn. Yeah.
That's right. Put the little bar down and go see that snow monster.
I'll be honest with you. We poke fun at it. But I love it. Like, it really kind of adds to
identity.
The mystique.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and we're the Vikings, you know. It's a Scandinavian warrior, man. We're getting after it, you know.
Shorts guy. You're still a shorts guy, 100% shorts guy on the sidelines and T-shirt.
Oh, yeah.
You don't wear polos.
No.
Anti-polo, anti-slacks.
I'm kind of disappointed in myself. I've gotten to the point now where like, officials kind of look at me sideways when I walk up. Like, really? Like,
are they asking, where's the coach?
Are you the ball boy?
Yeah,
the guys, I tell the guys, like, I go, if you're expecting polos and golf pants, guys, I finished doing that a long time ago. I go, we're T-shirts and shorts, man. And when it gets cold, I'll throw a sweatshirt on and maybe some sweatpants. But, you know, I think you look at the sideline on the NFL. We're not too far off.
No.
The polos are kind of starting to move away, you know. You know what happened? Someone told me one year we went Kelly green polos, and we were still wearing the brown khaki pants. And someone told me I looked like if it was a red polo, I'd be like Jake from State Farm or something. But I was like, you know what? I think we're done with these polos, man. We'll let the administrators wear the polos and the Target people, you know.
Well, it's a staple of you and your staff and your program. Yeah. You know, you wonder. You run a wonderful program there. You've always been kind to me and Traver students, and you know you're involved in the community. So, Dave, always fun catching up with you, man. We got to do this more often.
But for sure.
Good
Paul.
Luck the rest of the year.
I appreciate you, man.
Appreciate you. Mm-hmm. All right, coming up after the break, got a big one. Got Mark Barsotti, former Fresno State quarterback, here on 1430 ESPN.
Wait, no, we don't like that world. Different world, please. That's better. The Central Valley Sports Report starts now.
Welcome to hour number two. This is hour number two, the Central Valley Sports Report. I'm your host, Paul Metters, live here at First String Sports. Come on down here to First String Sports. They're the best, man. This place has been absolutely hopping all morning since 9 o'clock, since they opened up. I do my show in a Letterman's jacket room. This is the coolest room ever to do a high school show, man. You got jackets from Liberty, Sanger, Kerman, Bullard, Selma, Woodlake. Obviously, the Clovis School is behind me. We got Clovis High, Clovis North, Kingsburg. Just had a great conversation with Dave Wilson of Kingsburg High. So this is definitely the place to be. Thanks to First String Sports. They are the best here in the Fresno area. Really good time with Coach Wilson. If you miss any part of the conversations or any of our shows, just go to 1430ESPNFresno.com. Go to under podcast. You could listen to Jose Gonzalez Show, Home Field Advantage with Gabe Camarillo, the Bulldog Hour with Tony Diodato. I mean, what a guy. That guy, talk about a Fresno staple. That guy has been involved in Fresno sports forever. And my show, of course, Central Valley Sports Report. And our next guest, man, I am super excited. I've ran into Mark Barsotti, you know, a few times over the last 3 or 4 years at various sporting events, and always enjoyed my conversation. So I texted Mark. I'm like, Mark, one of these days, I'd love to have you in the show. So this week worked out. So, Mark, first of all, thanks for coming in live here to First String. Appreciate it.
Thanks for the invite. Appreciate it.
What I think a lot of people want to know, too, Mark, like, what are you doing now? Like, you're still in the Clovis, Fresno area, and after you graduated, like, where's life taking you?
I out of school, you know, once football was done, I landed at Chicago Title, and so I've been there now for 30 years and worked my way as a sales executive all the way up now to a county and then a regional manager for the company covering Bakersfield all the way to Stockton.
So, wow. All right. So you're a busy guy.
Yeah.
Super busy guy. Do you on Saturdays, like, or Sundays, what do you prefer better, watching college football or NFL?
I've always been a college football fan because, you know, at the time, kids are into it just to play the game. Once you get to the professional level, it turns to money, and I think you don't get the same effects that you do in college. So to me, it's more exciting to watch college. It's all in, and that's what I like.
Yeah, I'm right with you. Again, I didn't give you a proper introduction. I got so ahead of myself. Wanted to talk to you about some stuff. So, 1987, Madera High, right? Grad, mm-hmm. Went on to start a quarterback at Fresno State. From 87 to 91, you went 35-6-1 as a starter, correct?
Yes.
That's amazing. And including that monster 1991 team, went 10-2, a game that you missed with a broken leg for a while. We're going to be getting into that, and then came back for the Cal Bowl. Fifth all-time in passing yards in Fresno State history. So just an incredible career. I want to start, too. I know I asked about what you're doing now in life and college and the NFL, but growing up in Madera, life – in a small town, it's probably considered a small town back then. Was it? Did you grow up in an era where, heck, you're just playing sports all after school, and you're coming home during when it's time for dinner? What was life like?
Well, life as we know today, kids, it's all gaming and things like that. When growing up as a kid, you would come home from school, you'd knock out your homework if you had any to do. By 3:30, you were outside playing football, basketball, wiffle ball, whatever. And it was, your parents would come home from work and get dinner going. And by the time the street lights were coming on, they were opening the door and saying, it's time to come in for dinner. And we're like, hey, let's just finish this. And it would have to be the second, call to get us to go in. Yeah. So a little different today, with kids finding, the PS5s and those types of things that they do. They come home and they get on that. For us, it was you were outside
playing tackle football, coming in all dirty and maybe even limping a little bit, right? Those are the good old days. Getting a wiffle ball game or a basketball game with the neighborhood kids,
yeah.
Right?
And I grew up in a neighborhood where I was one of the younger ones, and so I was playing with kids that were, 3 and 4 years older than me. So I think it made you a little bit tougher in those situations because you were having to play against those guys.
You had to be. Had to be tougher. Was there a point, Mark, where you felt like you started separating yourself a little bit athletically from some of the kids? You mentioned how you played with older kids, but could you throw a football harder than most kids or farther, or a baseball or anything like that early?
I think to me it's work ethic has to do with everything, whether you're playing sports, you're in business, whatever it may be. And I think the time that I spent putting into that is what you got out of it. And so I think, there was a gentleman in Madera who was kind of a legend back in his day, an older gentleman. His name was Leroy Zimmerman. And, my dad took me out there one day to eat, show me, proper throwing. And he was a good punter as well. And so I actually did that as well. I punted in high school too. And so he kind of took me in and showed me some different ways of doing things, and it just continued to carry on from there. And it just, the love of the game, you just enjoy doing it. So anytime you'd go out to recess, you were doing those things,
yeah.
You weren't spending time, we didn't have cell phones back then that we, had our faces buried in those or anything like that. It was, hey, let's go do a pickup game of, we'd go behind the school where the office and the aides couldn't see us. We would play, smear the guy.
Yeah.
throw the ball up in the air. Whoever catches it, everybody's running
Dog
after you.
Yep.
And I remember one day, one of the kids we were chasing was running along the cyclone fence, and man, we got him, and it just tore his head up, and he's bleeding, and that was the end of our game.
It was
so,
over.
Yeah,
you had to find a new spot.
Those were the things you did at recess.
And you couldn't wait to get out to recess,
oh, yeah.
Right? You're looking at the clock, and you're already thinking, I'm going to choose this kid on my team. Yeah. And this guy's the fastest kid. I'm going to get him on my team, right?
Absolutely.
So you get to Madera, and are you on varsity right away, or what are the
No, I'll tell you, it was, I played freshman ball, and I, for that year I was sick, and I don't remember what transpired, but I missed quite a bit. The next year I went to JV, and then, you know, you moved up at the playoffs at that point in time. But I was a two-year starter on the varsity team my junior and senior year. But we had a phenomenal group of guys in my class that were made up a really amazing team.
So your senior year, right, did you know that you had this amazing team and you guys could go far in the playoffs? Like, were you just guys ripe for a really good season?
Yeah, I mean, it was it led to that. Madera had, you know, you go back to the 80, you know, the early 80s too. Madera had some pretty good football teams under Bill Sparks, and you know, then it moved to Dennis Fink, and they were really well prepared teams. You only had one high school in Madera. A lot of old time families there. So it went generation to generation. The landscape's changed a little bit now. You've got three high schools there. So it dilutes the strength of the program, I think, when you have that kind of separation. So
talking with Mark Barsotti. So your senior year, getting into some big games, right? Clovis was your rivalry. You ended up going to the Valley Championship and played against Tulare Union as well. What was football like in Madera, and, you know, those big games, including Clovis and then Tulare? What was that like?
Oh, you had a lot of tradition, I think, and that's one of the things I noticed today that misses when you go to some of these high school games. You don't see the interaction that you once had. I mean, that's, people live to go to those Friday night games, parents alike. The school, you know, the school spirit was tremendous, and so it's a little bit different, but those were exciting times, you know, running out through the, you know, where they have the poster up and you'd all bust through it, and, yeah, you know, it was exciting, and to put our team up against anybody out there was it was a challenge, and you enjoyed that experience every Friday night.
And the Clovis game was big, right? What do you remember? Was that for the NYL championship where, hey, if you don't win your division, you don't get to go to the playoffs.
It was
opposite then.
Yeah,
today.
It was always like that. It came down in my time, us and Clovis High School, and so it was an ugly rivalry. But whoever came out on top usually was the one that would be representing the NYL in the Valley Championship game. And so my senior year, we were able to do that. It was the first time in 27 years that Madera High actually won it outright. So that takes you back to, what, 59 or something like that. And so it was a special time. It was, just the community embraced that. You know, they do the parade, you know, in town, yeah, and stuff like that. So it was really cool. And some of those, to me, like I said, some of those things are missing today that we once had.
And I'm sure recruiting was very different back then than it is today. Like, how did you end up at Fresno State? You know, have interaction with Coach Sweeney? Did you put highlights on a VHS tape and send it out? What did that look like?
It was one of those things where, you know, they would call your coach and, hey, do you have anybody that's worth looking at? And so, you know, at the time, Dennis Fink, you know, we had game film and stuff like that. And I do remember one day, Rich Olson was a quarterback coach at Fresno State. He came to Madera High, watched some film, and so I'm kind of standing there with Coach Fink, and Coach Fink was the salesman too, and he said, hey, so what'd you think? Hey, we really like him. He goes, well, are you going to offer him a scholarship? And he's like, well, yeah, we're going to. So that's kind of how it started. But, you know, you go back then, it was just VHS tape that they would send out, you know, and you didn't do anything as you know, your family or as, yeah, individually that you're posting on the internet or anything like that. Today it's different. You know, I've got a kid that's a junior baseball player at Buchanan, and that it's a total marketing game. So it's far different today than it was then. You know, you went on recruiting visits and things. Now I heard the other day that it's unlimited now. When I was going to school,
five.
You got five, and that was it, you know. So I took four, and you know, my era was different. Back in the year that I was leaving high school in 87, they had a lot of coaching changes. A coaching carousel took place, and I had University of Arizona, University of Utah, Cal, and Fresno State were the four. And I was at the time leaning towards U of A. Larry Smith was there, and that was a year or 2 weeks prior to the signing time. He left, went to SC. They took Dick Tomey from Hawaii and moved him to U of A, and I'm going, the option doesn't fit my my game. So that was completely out. You looked at Cal. Cal was a. I went on a recruiting visit there, and I don't know if you've been to Cal.
Saw some stuff that small town Madera. Hey, yeah, that's not Madera.
No, as a 17-year-old kid walking through the neighborhood, you know, down the street, and you're seeing guys talking to themselves, sitting on the sidewalk, and you're going, "Wait a second, this is not for me." So that was an easy out, and so I think the solidified moment was. You know, Coach Sweeney and Coach Olson coming to the house, sitting down with my parents and I one winter day and talking it through, and it just was a good fit. You know, Madera being 22 miles away from Fresno was far enough to be away, you know, to have that experience, you know, where you're not in the same town as your parents. But then, you know, being able to go on a Sunday after a football game you played in to go home and have a home-cooked meal and then drive back was ideal.
It's so. Very valuable. What do you remember about maybe your first practice or the first time you trotted out into the practice field with Fresno State? Like, what do you remember about those moments?
It was a totally, you know, you're moving into something different. You're going into something that is far more intense. The learning curve was tremendous, because in high school, you know, I always say, hey, in high school, you're thrown to your best friend, right? Get open and we'll find you. When you got to college, you had to know pass protections. You had to, you know, when you called the pass protection, when you walked up there to the line of scrimmage, you had to know if you had to take it off, and it converts to something else. Because if you didn't know what it was, you're going to hit right under the chin. Because there's always going to be a hot guy that's coming free, and you got to know who that guy is. And so knowing that, knowing your reads, you know, what, you know, they're rolling into different coverages. They show you something that looks like cover two, and then they snap the ball, they roll out into cover three. You have to know, you know, what routes work, what routes don't, what routes convert if they're in certain coverage that you call. So there's a lot of stuff going on with a pre-snap before it even happens, and then you got 3 seconds to make a decision once you snap the ball. So it was a huge learning curve. Something, you know, those types of things you didn't learn in high school, at least I didn't at the time. So but it took on a whole new perspective.
Was there ever a moment, big aha moment for you, maybe, you know, because you played as a freshman, right? Well, you redshirted.
I redshirted. And then I went.
Was there a moment where you're like, okay, this is big boy football, or did you get hit really hard, or was there just like a big aha moment for you?
I think the biggest thing was, you know, taking that year that I was a redshirt and continuing trying to learn, because I wanted to put myself in a position to compete the following year, because Kevin had finished his career in 86. I came in that fall, and then I redshirted a gentleman by the name of Dave Telford. Was the guy that was going to start, and he was sharing time with Bouchel until he won the position over. And so he came off a tremendous season of, you know, huge passing numbers, and we went into fall camp, and, you know, my deal was to I'm going to at least secure myself to be the number two guy, if anything. And just a few days before camp broke, the 2 weeks that we would, you know, check into the dorms, you know, two-a-days and stuff, never did one of them, the coach, come to me and say, hey, you're now the new starter going into the season. I walked into breakfast. The other quarterback, my buddy Eric Bouchel, sitting there. He goes, "Hey, Barr, look at this. Look at the paper." And it had my picture on the left, Telford's picture on the right, and it says, "Bulldogs make the switch at quarterback." And that's how I knew that I now beat him out at quarterback, because I had a great fall camp, understanding reads and different things like that. So the hard work paid off.
Absolutely. Talking with Mark Barsotti. So I want to get, obviously we're going to talk about the 91 team and then that incredible season that you guys had, season that you got injured as well. But what was it like then to be named the starter? You said you found out in a different type of way, but how was it being knowing that you were the starting quarterback at Fresno State under Coach Sweeney, playing at Bulldog Stadium, like how serious did you take it? You mentioned work ethic throughout this conversation, but you know, you knew it was going to take work to sustain that type of level. So talk about the work ethic and what it meant to you to be the starting quarterback.
I mean, it's the time that you put in. It's the time you put in the weight room. It's the time you put in watching film. You know, you secure that position like that. You owe a lot to your teammates, and you have, you know, the expectations are, you know, nobody has higher expectations of you than yourself. And so knowing that, I was a, you know, team guy, and there was nothing that Mark did. You know, it wasn't about Mark. It was about the entire team. Those offensive linemen, you know, it's a thankless job. Excuse me, thankless job, and they put the time in. We all put the time in. You know, you tried to do things to bring everybody together. Like, hey, we're going to work out. You know, we're going to work out as a team. So, as a leader, you try and bring everybody together. So there's a cohesive group, and we did that. We had a very close bond. We were very strong. Had a very depth in our positions were strong. A lot of great players that came, you know, through the program. And it was very fortunate to play with them.
1991, senior season comes along. You guys are loaded. You guys knew you're going to have a great season. Games 2 and 3, you win at Washington State, at Oregon State, mm-hmm. right? Were you guys like in this game? We're not just going just to get beat up. We're going to go in with the mentality of winning these games. What were your feelings during those games? And when you came out winning, it's like, yeah, that's what we can do. We expected to win these.
Absolutely. I mean, we went into every game expecting to win. And a lot of people ask me, hey, what was your favorite game in college? And Washington State was one of my favorite games. I mean, we had to go, I think there was a little over 5 minutes left. We got the ball back on the I had to go 86 yards to score to take the lead, and we did some, you know, major conversions, you know, on third downs and things like that to continue to drive down the field, and we score and we win that ball game, and we went nuts. You know, it was gratifying, and to know that, you know, Fresno State oftentimes gets overlooked. They can be a mid-major, but I'll tell you what, everybody's afraid to play Fresno State because you always get their best. And so in that situation, we go win there, and then we go into Oregon State, and we win that one. So, you know, two Pac-10 at the time teams that we beat, you know, pushed our program forward. And but, you know, you did it with a lot of great, great players on offense and defense and special teams.
That's been the MO of Fresno State, even through Pat Hill. Hey, we'll take on anybody. We're not afraid of anybody. What were other players, like even the coaching staff of Oregon State or Washington State, do you remember, were they just like shocked, or they look at you like, who the heck are these guys? Was there a bit of arrogance with those guys?
I think the, you know, and one of the things that was really interesting too is the, I mean, there's nothing to do in Pullman, Washington. So you had a student section that filled up from bottom to top, from the 40-yard line to 40-yard line, and they got to the game an hour and a half early. They're sitting in their chairs. And I think they purposely put us on the, you know, usually their team is, that's their team sideline. But the way they design it, they make sure you're warming up close to them. And the things that these students would say, it's not even something that you can put on the radio or you know.
Or on a podcast.
But I got to tell you, it was hilarious. And it did, to me, it actually loosened us up a little bit to kind of laugh a little bit and get focused on what was at hand.
That's awesome. And then you guys come home. It's a game I remember. It's a game I was at, the 94-17 win over New Mexico. You know, I'm sure you get asked about that game a lot, right? So you have a couple rushing touchdowns, a couple throwing touchdowns, but it was a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You had interception returns. I mean, you guys, you know, it's documented that you could put on 100 on these guys, but – What do you remember most about that game?
Continue. You think about the amount of points that were put up in that game. It's almost you go, how do you do that in that amount of time? But it just, we reeled off. I remember it was 66-0 or something like that. And in fact, at the end of the game, if you remember, that quarterback fumbled that ball in the end zone, mm-hmm. and we recovered that ball. And I think it would have taken us over 100. It would have taken us over 100 points. And the ref didn't do it. He put it back on the 1 yard line, and which is probably save face. But one of the things that you know, we would do, if even if we, you know, our deal was to step on the throttle early and get ahead and put as many points on the board in the first half as we could. And a lot of times, if we did that, you know, my coach would say, "Hey, look, you're gonna go into the first series, you're gonna go through that, and then you're coming out, and then we're gonna let, you know, the next guy go in." I'm like, okay. So this time, when it was 66-0, he tells me, "Hey," this is funny, he got so mad at me, but he said, "You know, you're not gonna go into the first series. We're gonna go in and let, you know, Eric, you know, run the second half." And I said, "All right, is it all right if I take a shower and put on my sweats?" He's like, "Are you kidding me?" So that was pretty comical. But yeah, it was an incredible game. I mean, it was, you talk about all facets of the game that were contributing. It was incredible.
And I watched clips of that game on YouTube. If you just YouTube it, the 1991 Fresno State New Mexico game, and I felt like that game, you guys were extra juice, man. You guys were flying. Even though it was 66-0 at one point, those kickoffs, you guys were – defense was just smashing them and getting up and celebrating. It just seemed like you had a little extra, because I think there was some history a couple years ago, right, with New Mexico.
Yeah, there was. I mean, that was where I started my first opportunity to play college football was there in New Mexico. We went to Albuquerque and played, and that was – my first game out of the chute, and you know, a little nerve wracking, but I had one of my, it was, if I go back and look at my first games of every season, those were games that I think you get tired of practicing against your fellow teammates and you come out and you have a tremendous game. And so those, every first game, I always had a good outing. So it was the thing to try and carry it through the entire season is the you know, the kicker.
And you could scoot too, Mark. You could, a couple of those rushing touchdowns, you just put your head down and you just go.
It was fun. It was I enjoyed to be able to use speed at the time. I don't I've lost it all. But it was one of those things where we had, Coach Sweeney had devised a play. They called it T-heavy. And so you would overload one side of the box, and you'd hand the ball off, and you just power your way through, you know, fourth and one, three, you know, third and a yard, whatever. And a lot of times what you do is you hand that ball off, but you're spying to see, are they respecting you? And if they don't, the next time you go in, you call the play, you just look at the guy you're giving the ball at, and you just point to yourself, which he knows you're keeping it. Because if you told them you were doing it, then everybody's going to haphazardly, you know, block. And so nobody knew it. And then I would keep it and then, you know, go off on a scamper of some sort. So it was fun. It was a lot of fun to, you know, it's like playing chess. You're trying to beat the other guys. So.
Absolutely. Talking with Mark Barsotti. However, was it two games later, break your leg.
Yeah.
Right. So what was the play and how bad was the break? But you come back later. But yeah, talk about that play and how difficult it was for you to be on sidelines.
Yeah, so that was a difficult, very difficult time. I blame Lorenzo Neal for it, because I drop back to pass. I step up in the pocket. There's nothing going, and I yell go to him, which tells him, hey, let's go. I'm running. You be my lead blocker. So he makes a great block. I get out on the outside, left-hand side of the field, running down the sideline. And, you know, probably should have just ran out of bounds, and I'm going to continue to go. And I got rolled up from a guy coming from the side. And it felt like I got a major Charlie horse in my left side of my leg down by my calf. And so I got up and had a hard time walking. And so we called timeout, and they're going, are you okay? I said, yeah, I'm fine. Let's go. And, you know, I hand the ball off on the next play, and I can just I can't really put a lot of pressure on my leg. So I ended up we were losing at the time to New Mexico State. I think we were down by one or two touchdowns, and I wasn't going to come out. And so we continued down on this drive. We score, come out, we go out again, and now is our opportunity to go ahead. We get the ball down at the 6 or 7 yard line. You know, we're as we march down to score, and of all things, my coach calls a speed option. So you take two steps back, you attack the end of the line of scrimmage. If they take you, you pitch the ball to your back. If they take the back, you keep it. Well, naturally, what do they do in this situation? They're going to go take the back. So Mark has to take the ball. And I get around the corner, and here's two guys coming at me, and I decide, okay, this is something I'm going to try and leap over to try and score. And as I did that, the push off had to be with my bad leg, and I immediately hit, you know, pushed on that situation. I go straight down to the ground. I land about the 1 yard line, and get up, and I have a hard time getting up. Get up. The next play, I hand it off. I can't remember who scored, Lorenzo or somebody scores into the, you know, we go ahead. And as I'm walking off, I can feel the bone in my left side just kind of like click, you know, touching back, you know, rubbing back and forth. And so I ended up, you know, going to the Las Cruces hospital and found out, yeah, you got a break. You broke your fibula.
So did you break it more on that second play, or is it like pretty much thrashed on that other play where it got rolled up?
I think it was a combination of all of it. Mm-hmm. Continue, you know, and it was whether it was, you know, was at the beginning. If I came out at the beginning, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah.
The time was, you know, going to be spent, you know, in a cast, and that's what happened. And I was fortunate enough to come back and try to play again in the California Bowl with a semi-rigid cast, which is basically wearing a cast that is still kind of wet, so you get a little bit of bend, but that's what I ended up doing.
Wow, that's wild. Played in Cowboy with a semi-broken leg. Amazing. Talking with Mark Barsotti. Mark, we only got about 3 minutes here. This time is absolutely flying by. I got to – at that time, too, I want to mention you were leading – the time you broke your leg, you were leading the nation in passing efficiency. Yeah. I think you were averaging 44 points a game. That 94 certainly helped against New Mexico, leading the nation, and you ended up leading the nation after the end of the season at 40 points a game, I believe, right?
Yes.
I need some Jim Sweeney stories, some Coach Sweeney stories. I know that could take up a full hour. We got a couple minutes.
There's a lot. But I think let's go back to the Washington State game. And so the guy was amazing to figure out. You know, you have a lot of people, coaches that will do the shotgun approach and will do to motivate everybody. But he knew how to individualize things where he would know what would motivate Paul, what would motivate Mark. But that day we went on got there Friday. We were going to go do our pregame walkthrough, and so it was raining outside. We're waiting for buses to come. We're walking down the hallway of the hotel we were staying at, and this was his way to kind of get people a little loosened up a little bit. And there was a banquet table at the end of the hallway, and he goes and lays on it. He says, "Look, everybody get in a single file line. I'm going to lay down on this table, and you're going to tell me what you're going to say to me at my funeral." And I'm thinking, are you kidding me? So each guy's going up there, "Hey, coach, you're the greatest coach, blah, blah, blah." And then one time he pops up and he, "Hey, did you hear what Lorenzo just said?" Da, da, da. You know, and he repeats it still. But it was one of those things. He knew how to get guys going, how to loosen them up, how to get on them to make sure they're focused. There are so many stories you can sit around and talk about that you would be amazed at, that he was incredible. He really was. And so you take a lot of that stuff that you learned playing for him, you find yourself, it translates into what you do in a day-to-day basis with work, home. You know, it was really an unbelievable experience, and so glad that I ended up there.
Oh, what an incredible man. I love those types of stories. That is pretty awesome. All right, we got 1 minute. I want to ask you, who is your favorite Fresno State quarterback post-Mark Barsotti that you've been able to watch over the years? Who's been your favorite? Like, man, I love watching this dude play Bulldog.
I'll tell you, everybody brings something different to the game. And so to see the transition happen, you're always going, okay, you know, let's just say, Derek Carr was there, and you're going, well, who's going to replace him, you know? And so they always find somebody, and everybody brings a unique ability to the game. And so personally, I like seeing the transition of those quarterbacks to see who's going to step up and make plays and do things. And to me, I haven't been disappointed yet, you know. So I think in Coach Tedford, Jeff's an amazing guy. He's an amazing mind, and we're fortunate really to have him here, to the longevity. You know, you had Pat here for, you know, what, 16 years, and to get Jeff back here. I think, you know, Jeff has done his thing in major college football, Cal and all that stuff, and for him to come back home to his alma mater and be committed to doing that. Because a lot of times you see Fresno being, you know, as a mid-major, there's a stepping stone for coaches going, hey, I'm going to go in, I'm going to win, and I'm going to leave, and I'm going to go get this bigger job. And so to know you have him in place, I mean, we're really lucky.
Absolutely. This has been a great conversation, Mark, and you're definitely one of the top quarterbacks of all time. You had an amazing career, and, you know, that was the time of my transition from high school to college. So watching you on Saturdays was amazing. So this has been a big pleasure for me, and I'm sure the people enjoyed the story. So thanks for coming. Hey, I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you having me. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much.
All right. That was Mark Bersuti, quarterback of Fresno State. Great conversation. Up next, we got Clovis West linebacker Titus Kajabi coming off a big 33-7 win over Buchanan. Looking forward to talking to him on 1430 ESPN. That was certainly a lot of fun talking with Mark Bersuti, former Fresno State quarterback. That 91 team, that was something special. There was tons of stuff that we didn't get into, man. That team had Lorenzo Neal. Ronnie Rivers was a freshman. Yeah, the original Ronnie Rivers, a freshman. It's just a phenomenal team. And, you know, if Bersuti doesn't break his leg, they might go undefeated that season. They might, right? One of the greatest teams in Fresno State history. I think I did mention that Trent Dilfer took over, and then obviously Trent took over the year after Bersuti graduated. But great interview. Love to have those legends come in and talk Fresno State history. And we got another future Fresno State Bulldog in the house right now, Clovis West linebacker Titus Kajabi, 3-year starters, the reigning track defensive player of the year, committed to Fresno State in late summer, right? It was late summer committed to Fresno State.
Yes, it was.
Man, what a great radio voice, man. Talking to you, I'm like, man, this guy's got a way better radio voice than I. He's only a senior in high school. So, Titus, first of all, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Last night's game against Buchanan. All right, we're checking scores. We're broadcasting Clovis North and East. And we're like, we didn't know which way that game was going to go, to be honest, right? Buchanan played Liberty tough. And we're like, all right. Clovis West, 8-0, 16-0, and then all of a sudden it's 30-0, right? And then 33-7 ended up being it. So was it just a game where just everything was clicking? Landon Wright was on fire. Tyler was throwing dimes, right? I'm sure you were flying all over the field, but everything was clicking, right?
Yes, it was. You know, this past following week practicing, we were really locked in. We knew we were going to come to this game trying our best, you know. I trust in my teammates, the Fresno State guys, Landon, for sure. We're just like, we're going to bring it to them, not holding back, not nothing.
So did you – I think you got a two-point rushing conversion as well, right? What play was that? Just smash mouth, just get the ball and go in the middle, lower your head?
Well, the play was we're in PAT, and we shift into it, and I shift into quarterback.
Oh.
And I take the snap, and I run out, and if – my center's open or landing, I throw it. If not, just run it in. So I caught the snap. I look, see no one's open. I see an open gap on my left side, and then just run it in. No one wanted to get me.
So they give you the option to throw it?
Yes, they do.
Wow, that's big. Can you throw it? You got a decent arm or what?
I could throw it over there, but I don't know if it would be a good one.
That's awesome. Talking to Titus Kajabi, Fresno State commit, playing at Clovis West. You know, coming into the season, Titus, obviously – everyone's talking a lot about your team, and deservedly so. You had some dudes this year. You mentioned Landon Wright, Marshall Sanders, you, JoJo Piero, Tyler Patrick, right? All seniors. You feel like there was like a lot of expectations on you guys at the beginning of the year, like compared to even last year, right? Even last year, like, hey, I think Clovis West is going to be good. Oh, okay, they keep winning games, end up being 10-2. But this year, you feel like a little more expectations?
Yes, a lot of expectations because we came to the season, like everyone's 3 stars, you know, committed to D1 places. So everyone's like, okay, we're expecting this team to mostly win every game, be really good on the offensive side of the ball, and show out. So teams are bringing all they can to stop us. And, yeah, we had a lot of expectations this year.
So you guys are 5-1. You lost that opening game to St. Mary's. We knew that was going to be a tough game, to be honest. Like, I think a lot of people out here is like, St. Mary's, oh, who are they? Oh, they're up north. Oh, they do a little more research. Oh, they're pretty good. So you guys lost 38-28. But then you guys won 5 in a row. It hasn't been easy. A couple of one-point games. Had to come back against Bullard. And that Lemoore game was pretty crazy. Do you feel like those games, though, kind of like strengthened your team? Because if you're blowing everybody out, right, I mean, that could be a good thing on one hand, but the other hand is like you got to go through some adversity during the season, right?
Yes, definitely. Those one-point games, we all knew that we should have beaten the team by a lot more, and we're just expecting to beat everyone because, you know, we have, like, good talent across the board. And we were thinking, like, this track is not easy to play in. Like, this is the best track, Central Valley. Like,
in a long time.
Yes, a long time, and not every game is going to be just given to us, handed us to us like last year was. Our first two games, we shut out the teams. So this year is a whole different team, whole different defense, new offense. So, yeah, it was a waking-up call. Like, we're like, wow, we almost lost, like, a game we should have won by, like, 40.
But the Bowler game, last night's game, is probably more like, hey, guys, this is how we can play football. What were you guys talking about after the game? Like, hey, this is the game that we needed. Was that the conversation?
Yes, it was. The conversation was like, this is what we can do. Like, we stop messing around, like, get straight to it and send a message to the track. Like, we were the defending track champions and we're going to stay like that.
So who are some other studs on your team that you love playing with? You mentioned Landon and Marshall. So who do you love playing with this season?
Love playing with most of my team. I love playing with all my teammates, but a couple of them show out. Titus Dimmer, sophomore. He's tough. Tough as nails. Outside linebacker, sophomore. He plays hard defense. And then Michael Espinoza, junior. I love him to death. Me and him have been brothers for a long time. Then trusting my D-line, Joey Chacon, Trevin, Daniel. They're just all great. All great to play with. Our safeties, JoJo, Landon, corners, Marshall, JD. We have a very good defense.
I think it's underrated, I'll be honest, right? Yes. And I think everyone talks about the offense and being able to put up points and air west, but I think it's the defense that has kept you in these games. The defense, they win the big games, right?
Yes.
What do you love most about playing defense? Because, you know, I see when, you know, we did the Edison game, and I just see number 3 out there just getting after it, lining up all kinds of different spots, getting sacks and you know, tackles for loss and all that stuff. What do you love about playing defense?
The thing I love most about playing defense is to tackle someone, to hit someone. Because growing up, I wasn't really that type of guy to tackle someone until I was told, like, you prevent injuries from getting hit than giving the hit. So I was like, you know what? That's right. So I'm going to start just hitting people as hard as I could so I don't get injured. So I just started playing defense, started doing really good, started lighting up everyone, you know, working on being explosive, getting a little stronger, getting a little bulkier. But I love just the team sport. Like, I don't even have to have the play. Like, if my teammate gets it, I'm there celebrating with them. So that's what I love most about defense.
What's your height and weight right now?
Me, I'm 6'2", 235.
235. All right, I love it. What was your playing weight last year? You gained a lot of pounds, huh?
Yeah, last year I was 6'1", 225, and I finished the season because I got sick. I weighed like 6'1", like 195 when I finished the season.
So you're at 235 right now?
Yes.
What's been like your favorite play this season? Like, you know, you hit somebody really hard this year, or, you know, do you have a scoop and score? That was Dimmer, huh?
It was Dimmer.
Dimmer. So what's been your favorite player hit this season on defense?
Oh, we're playing against Lemoore. I think it was one of the hardest hits I've given to someone before.
I know what you're talking about.
I came off the edge, and right when the QB handed off to the running back, I just cleaned him. Like, head, shoulder, right to his face. Just cleaned him out. He just folded. I got up, started celebrating with my teammate. It was a hard hit. Like, you could hear it from a long distance.
We heard it. We broadcasted that game. We heard it because that was on the far side coming this way, right?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, I heard it. It was one of those that you can hear. What would you rather do? Would you rather, because you're getting the ball a lot more on offense, you're running the ball, would you rather score on a 10-yard run where you're truck sticking guys, right? And you're dragging some guys in the end zone, or would you rather light up a quarterback, pick up the fumble, make them fumble, pick it up, and run it 50 yards?
Definitely hit the quarterback and pick it up and run, because I told my lineman, I said, if I get a scoop and score, I said, someone better be running with me because I'm going to hand the ball back to him. So they can have that glory moment.
All right.
Because, you know, I'm not saying I score a lot, but I do a lot of good things for my team. And so, yeah, definitely the hit stick. Because on Edison, I saw a scoop and score. I started running, and they called it back because someone got late hit.
Yeah, I saw that too. We did that game. Talking to Titus Kajabi, Clovis West linebacker. All right, so talk to me about recruitment a little bit. I think your recruitment started a little late, right, mm-hmm. as far as some teams picking up on you. When Fresno State offered, were you just like, yeah, that's an easy choice?
Yes, definitely.
And that happened during the summer?
Yes, it did. It was the first thing that came to mind because growing up, I was always in my room saying, like, I want to play D1 football. Like, I want to play for a great program, and the program I really want to play for was the Bulldogs. Because growing up, I was always growing up around the Bulldogs, went to a lot of games when I was a kid, watching them play, just watching, like, the coaching staff, everybody. It was just amazing. It just spoke to me in a way. And when I was a kid, writing in my journal, saying, like, I'm going to be here one day. And being close in Fresno, family, is amazing.
Easy decision.
Yes.
So who actually recruited you? Which linebackers coach or defensive coordinator? Who was it?
Coach Skipper.
Coach Skipper.
Sure. Yeah, he believed in me. He saw me my junior year. He was like, he sees potential in me. He's like, we're just going to stick around and see how you get. I ended up doing really good throughout this season, and he took an opportunity to take a chance on me and gave me the offer.
I think it was a great chance. Number three out there for Clovis West. You've been a dominating force this season. There's another track linebacker is committed to Fresno State. Logan Stute Buchanan did. Logan was on the show about a month ago. What do you know about Logan? Did you like text each other? You're like, dude, let's go do this linebacker thing together.
No, but you know, growing up, me and Logan been kind of close. You know, we've been with each other for a minute, and we were just, you know, we're just gonna try to commit to the same school. I was saying, like, it's my first like offer,
yeah.
like Fresno State. And I know your family's been to Fresno State for a while, so yeah. It's like, I think me and you could be a big problem in the future together.
I agree. That's going to be awesome. Has there ever been a – what's the weirdest way somebody's pronounced your name?
Ooh.
Right? Like, it's probably been butchered.
Oh, it's been butchered a lot.
K-H-A-J-A-V-I.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So what – like maybe a teacher in school, a substitute, maybe they even gave up like – Titus something?
Yeah, like. they'd be like, Titus K. And I'm like, yeah, that's me.
You're like, present, I'm here.
Yeah, that's what I say. I think the worst one was my fifth grade year, had a sub, and my teacher was like, looked at my name weird, and she was like, man, how do you say that? Like, I could tell she was thinking about it, and she was like, Kuhuvi Kavi? And I was like, Kajavi. She's like, oh, okay.
Once you say it, you don't forget it. But reading it could be a little bit difficult.
Yes,
I can see that. I can see that. All right, so you're playing basketball too.
Yes, I am.
I've watched you play basketball for the last couple of years. Obviously, Coach Wahlberg is you know, he's an amazing coach, and you get after it. You're a defensive guy. You mix it up. You do a lot of things out there at the basketball court that Coach Wahlberg loves, I'm sure. Do you feel like, though, you're a football player that plays basketball, or do you feel like, yeah, I'm a basketball player out there. What do you feel like when you're on the court?
I'm a football player that plays basketball because I come into the game, and I guard the biggest guys, the toughest dudes, and I just give it to them. Like, I'll be shouldering them a little bit, shoulder checking them, just pushing them around a little bit because they're like 6'6", 6'5". Yeah. I'm, like, down a little bit to them, but they're, like, getting pushed by me, and they're, like, annoyed by it.
Yeah.
I tell them, I'm like, I don't play basketball, I'm a football player. So they get kind of mad at me, but Wahlberg loves it.
I bet he does. Yeah. Okay, Kajabi's coming in. He's got 5 fouls to give. That's for darn sure, and he can mix it up. Yeah, that's awesome.
Yes.
What's harder, though, a Vance Wahlberg practice or a football practice when it's 103? Like, which one are you like, man, what am I doing out here? This is terrible.
You know, being outside, because I've been outside for a long time, like football-wise, the weather doesn't really get to me. It doesn't really bother me. I'm mostly focused on practicing and getting better every day. And compared to Wahlberg, we do a lot of conditioning. So in football, like a play happens, a little break, then next play. Basketball is just consistently going up and down the court. So I'd say Wahlberg practice is a lot harder.
That's what I hear. I've heard stories and I've seen a few things. I'm like, man, if you could go through a Wahlberg, I've heard players that play college, they're like, Wahlberg practices are harder than college practices. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's amazing that you've been able to do both. Well, Titus, we got about another minute here. What are you looking forward to most in your senior season? Like, what's the limit for Clovis West? What's the goal?
We really want to get to the state championship and hopefully track champions again. We're expecting a good season. You know, we're all relying on each other to do our jobs and to get better every day. So it's going to be a tough season for sure. But my expectations for my team and me is to just get better every day.
Absolutely. You guys are going to be taking on Clovis East. Just beat Buchanan 33-7. Titus, number three, amazing football player. Excited to watch you the rest of the season. And then basketball season rolls around. Thanks for coming in. Really appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, we'll take a quick break and then come back on 1430 ESPN. Thank you guys for listening. Three for Clovis West, future Fresno State Bulldog. Thanks to Mark Barsotti, one of the Fresno State legends for sure. Thank you to Gabe Camarillo, Jorge Rodriguez, Dave Wilson, head coach at Kingsburg High. Have a good weekend, everybody. Go Dogs, and we'll talk to you later.